Welcome to Ring of Fire. I'm Mike Papantonio here with Bobby Kennedy and Sam Cedar. Today on Ring of Fire, Eric Bollert from Media Matters will be here to tell us how Fox News has actually helped destroy the Republican Party. Some good comes out of it, huh? Documentary film director Josh Fox will join us for a discussion about why he was thrown out of Congress last week simply for trying to film what those cats were up to. Author Corey Robin will join us to talk about how the conservative culture of the Republican Party was created to help keep the lower classes of society in their place, and they've done a great job of that. And author Nation magazine contributor Ari Berman, he's going to tell us how the GOP is trying to re-segregate the South. We encourage all of our listeners to follow Ring of Fire on Facebook and Twitter at Ring of Fire Radio. You can also email us your thoughts on this week's show at ringoffireradio.com. And you can help support progressive media by subscribing to our podcast. Just go to our blog at ringoffireradio.com and sign up. And if you want to help support Ring of Fire, you can sign up online at ringoffireradio.com. It's your support that keeps us on the air. This hour of Ring of Fire is brought to you by the law offices of Howard Nations. It's a national law firm with clients in all 50 states. He's the past president of the American Trial Lawyers Association and the National Trial Lawyers Association. This is a lawyer's lawyer. For a free legal consultation, contact the Nations Law Firm at 1-800-269-3050 or visit their website at www.howardnations.com. Bobby, the state of the world address. You look at this news this week and you just have to wonder, my God.
This is the end of democracy, Pap, and that's not hyperbole. Last week, the reporters across borders rated the United States as 47th in the world for free press. We're the ones who invented the free press, but all of the criteria by which you judge the functioning of a democracy, all of those are under assault like we've never seen them. I would say this is even worse than the 1880s when the big corporations really took over our country. We don't have a functioning press. We have the Koch brothers who have masterminded. You know, you had Richard Mellon Scaife, who was another oil man, who used his oil fortune to undermine the Clinton presidency, orchestrate the impeachment of a president of the United States. One man, one oil man, who didn't like the president and literally orchestrated his impeachment. And today, we have the Koch brothers who've declared war on the Obama administrations. Now, they created the Tea Party, as you know. They have, last week, they convened an ultra-secret billionaires meeting in Indian Wells, Florida, there where they closed down the hotel so that nobody could get in. Two major golf courses. There was helicopters flying back and forth, private security, police officers. Nobody was allowed in there. Phil Kirpin, who is the vice president for the Americans for Prosperity, was approached by a reporter in the airport, by Li Fang from Republic Retreat, and he told Li Fang, I tried to ask him about what was going on. Li Fang was thrown out, given the bum's rush at that hotel immediately, and Li Fang asked him about it, and Kirpin said to him, "How'd you know about that? I thought that all the leaks had been stopped." So this thing was super secret.
Now, Li is like Josh, where it comes, Josh Fox. He's their worst nightmare. Everywhere the Koch brothers try to meet in private, Li Fang is there. This is a courageous kid.
This is so frightening and it's so outrageous. So here they are. They're extracting money from all of these oil men to pick who the next president will be and to defeat Obama. That's all they care about. And the Koch brothers themselves, Charles Koch pledged $40 million of his own money to the effort, wrote a check. David Koch pledged $20 million. This is the biggest single polluter in the country, the biggest privately owned oil company in the world. And now we're operating under rules in our democracy that allow them literally to choose the next president of the United States. The same day, the front page of the New York Times, there was an article about how the Tea Party had turned its attention to fighting local ordinances across the country were about conservation. So they're shutting down all the bike trails in our country. They're shutting down any kind of anti-sprawl planning. What they're trying to do is to dramatically increase and addict us to fossil fuels, all for the cause. This is not ideology. This is about personal profit-taking by the Koch brothers. They've created this ideological infrastructure with the Cato Institute, etc. But the only real objective, this is not about free market capitalism. This is about trying to maximize the amount of money they make to turn America into a plutocracy, a corporate kleptocracy where they will be the bosses and the rest of us are going to be working for them. And it's time to head for the hills. I told that to my kids this weekend. I said, you guys have to be prepared. One of my sons is named John Connor. And I said, I was joking with him, but I said, I named you that because John Connor and the Terminator, right. Who was out there, who was his whole life, he was raised to fight the machines and the corporations that were taking over our country.
So, Bobby, also at that meeting were some other things, some other strategies that took place. You have this, they're trying to reinvent Newt right now. Newt's idea for this new Southern strategy moving into Super Tuesday, which is where he thinks he has the best chance, is that he's part Richard Petty, part of redneck politics, part of this arrogant, really to dismiss Mitt is this arrogant millionaire PGA Tiger Wood type, and then contrast Newt with all that. Newt's taking that class warfare strategy that he says is bad for America, and he's dressing it up in a, you know, Caterpillar baseball cap, Brogan's Dale Earnhardt stock car, and he believes that he can stay in this race by reinventing himself in the South. Now, he's looked at South Carolina. He believes that what South Carolina showed him is that the South loves him in his Georgia banjo boy image. And you know what? They might be right, Bobby. If you look at the voter demographics in Florida, Mitt carried the Cuban and the big city Republicans, but Newt did very well in places like Teabagger, Billy Bob Pockets in the South and Central Florida.
You are talking about your hometown.
I am. This is where I live. Exactly. So I know what happened.
From the Redneck Riviera, center.
I was raised there and I lived there, so I saw it.
I think the main street is named after George Wallace.
not here, but in many parts of the South it is. But look, he's been able to master the language. Think about this, Bobby. When Newt left Barry Goldwater's side during that Goldwater disaster, he moved into Congress. There were no politicians more effective than him in dividing Washington and Republicans and Democrats on issues of pure ideology. So Newt discovered, if you think back, he discovered this C-SPAN thing where he could get on there, he could make this hate speech division directly to the American public. Now all he's doing is he's taking that and he's saying, let me reinvent what Lee Atwater had going in the South, and that's what we're going to see with Newt. That's how he's going to stay in the game. He's counting on one other thing, and I call it the Johnny Edwards phenomenon. That's where something really ugly might emerge against Mitt as investigators and reporters continue to ask questions, and they dig up his checkered, secretive offshore Bain Capital past. Newt is still in this game. I'm telling you, everybody's counting the guy out. I want him to stay in it. I want the discussion to continue. I want the stories to come out about Mitt, and I want him to see how ugly Newt really is. You know, they took his wife off the stage. I don't know if you saw this story. They asked his wife not to be on stage because what that does is it draws
out. You're talking about Callista.
Yes,
current,
I'm talking about
wife
number three. So they've asked Callista to leave the stage because women are reacting to it very badly. So right now he's being micromanaged. I'm telling you, he's being micromanaged by the very same people that you're talking about that are raising hundreds of millions of dollars to beat Obama. So there's more parts to this story about what happened in Florida here this last week. These meetings were very important from the standpoint of the future of the Republican strategy.
One of the big, big billionaires that showed up at this meeting was the premier supporters of fracking in this country. And that's part of the billionaire agenda. And when we come back, we're going to have one of the heroes of the grassroots upsurge to challenge fracking, Josh Fox, who's been jailed for his efforts in last week. And he's with us right after the break.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Ring of Fire. I'm Mike Papantonio. Remember, if you want to help support Ring of Fire, you can sponsor an hour of our show. Just sign up on ringoffireradio.com. This hour of Ring of Fire is brought to you by the law offices of Howard Nations. It's a national law firm with clients in all 50 states. For a free legal consultation, contact the Nations Law Firm at 1-800-269-3050 or visit their website at www.howardnations.com.
Hey, we're back on Ring of Fire with Pap and me, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and we were talking about the billionaires, secret billionaires ball sponsored by the Koch brothers that took place at Indian Wells, where they got together to pick for themselves the next president of the United States. It was going to be picked this time by the oil industry rather than by the people of our country. One of the moguls that showed up at that ball, at that secret ball, was Continental Resources, which dominates the Bakken Shale and is one of the largest fracking companies in our country. And the company was headed by Obama critic Harold Hamm. And he's one of the people who showed up at the Koch brothers' fiesta. And we have with us today one of the great heroes of the anti-fracking movement, my friend Josh Fox. Tell us what happened to you, Josh, this week.
Well, I mean, we were going to Congress to film a public hearing, and this is something that we've done before in Congress and done probably 100 times across the United States filming public hearings. They're public hearings. You don't need permission. You walk in. You set up your camera. It's public speech. These are the rules. And in Congress, there's a protocol because, you know, I could understand that there might be a reason to make sure that you knew who the people who were there and if there's space for them and everything. But generally there is. And over the last year and a half, basically since the Republicans took over Congress, we've had a lot of flack and what we felt were obstructionism from getting into these hearings. There's a credentialed Hill reporting crew. There's about 200 of these people who basically live on the Hill, and they have these special press passes. But what you can do is write to the committee and tell them that you're interested in filming. And then they say, yes, come in. That's the way it's supposed to work. But what we found was that this protocol and these congressional rules were being used as a way to keep us out, specifically us. And in the past, what we had done was actually hired credentialed crews, because they don't always have something to do on every day, and had them go in and film for us, which was inadequate because we film things in a very specific way. We capture the emotion that's in the room. We capture people who are not speaking. We capture the flow of events in a way that's dramatic. And if you watch Gasland, and actually really feels like you're in the room with them. If you watch Gasland, you see the congressional hearing that's there. That's because we taped a congressional hearing. We were getting a lot of flack from the committee. They said, no, you can't come in. No, you can't come in. We tried to hire a credentialed crew twice. When those crews identified themselves as working for us, they were shut out. So this was something very specific about not wanting Gasland in there specifically. So I said, you know, well, let's appeal to the chair. So I appealed to the chair, Republican Andy Harris from Maryland, and I got his staff member on the phone late Tuesday night after a whole day's worth of negotiation with them. And bear in mind, these hearings are not announced until really like 2 days before. So it's not a time when you can actually take the moment to get the credentials, fill out the paperwork, have that whole process go through. This is really your only option. They did not get back to us. I showed up the next morning pretty much knowing that I was within my First Amendment rights. This was a public hearing. And again, at the door, they stopped my cameraman, Matt Sanchez, who was out in the hallway filming the big line. There was a long line of people to get in. And I had my camera in the case and the tripod on my shoulder, and I walked in. When I started to set up the tripod, immediately congressional staffers from the committee or some people who didn't identify themselves get up in my face and they say, you can't film, we know who you are, you've been denied. And I said, no, I'm waiting on a determination from the chair. And this went on for about 10 minutes. Meanwhile, I noticed that there are these police and look like security guards or whoever sort of assembling over in the corner. And I said, you know, get word from the chair if I have to leave. So finally, 10 minutes later, they come back. You can stay, but your camera has to be turned off. And I said, well, I don't believe that that's the law. I said, I'm sorry, I don't think that that's the law. Meanwhile, while this whole thing is going on, there's a full audience in the house, about 100 people. And all the congressional staffers to my left, that is to say on the stage, are filming this with their iPhones. So I say, no, I don't think that's the truth. This is a First Amendment issue. And when I said it's a First Amendment issue, they kind of went berserk. They were like, First Amendment. You know, and I just could tell that made them a little bit crazy. And then, of course, they said, will you leave? I said, no. And the gentleman said, officer, do your duty. And I was cuffed and taken out, taken to jail.
Let me ask you something, Josh. I've wondered about this. We watch Gasland. It's impossible to react any other way other than to say that our legislators need to know about it. I mean, it's not really that they don't know, is it? They understand the connection between peripheral neuropathies, between neurological damage, all types of systemic physical damage that all flows from this directly and indirectly when it gets into our aquifer. They know that, but I just wonder, has the money become so strong?
Well, that's why we're making a second movie. Our first movie was really about daylight, because when these gas companies came to me, and this all starts with them proposing a gas lease to me in the Upper Delaware River Basin, which is part of that unbelievably important watershed area, the Delaware River watershed, which supplies water to 16 million people, New York, Philadelphia, southern New Jersey. They're releasing like crazy all over that watershed. And I wanted to look into the process because nobody really knew, and the gas companies weren't being very forthright, about what this whole process was. And that is the first film, Gasland. And here's the second film, kind of wondering, well, if we've now gotten the word out, the majority of Americans know what fracking is. Fracking was one of the top three words added to the English language in 2011, along with occupy and another word. I think it was deficit. the top three most popular words. And the majority of people in New York State and many other states are against it. Here we have the Congress doing nothing. We have state governments in even worse shape. What is this system that is so unresponsive to people?
The money's that strong.
We were there to find this out because the truth is this hearing was a brazen attack on science. This was so significant because this was a hearing in which the Republican committee chairmanship had put EPA on trial. EPA found in Pavilion, Wyoming, these amazing cowboys that you see in the first film, Gasland, had kicked and screamed and got Region 8 EPA to come out and do a 3.5-year in meticulous scientific investigation about the groundwater contamination that they've been suffering, 50 times the level of benzene in the groundwater that's safe for human health. That's what they found in Pavilion, Wyoming, a permanent contamination and damage to the underground systems that keep life alive, which is groundwater. And this was clearly an attempt to do that. We wanted to show that to the American people, to say, this is what the Republicans are doing right now with this actual science. They're kicking science out of the Science and Technology Committee.
Josh, Bobby, we got to take a break. When we come back, Bobby's going to pick up with that very topic. Stand by. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Papantonio, and you've been listening to a free sample of Ring of Fire Radio. If you'd like to listen to the full show, subscribe to our weekly podcast at our website at ringoffireradio.com. It's your support that helps keep us on the air.